Verses 1 through 4, just to let you know, they talk about the descendants of Levi. Levi was one of the sons of Jacob, one of the descendants who formed what they call the 12 tribes of Israel, a component of early Israel. The Levites, those descended from Levi, were the priestly people of that flock. You join with me in prayer. Send, O Lord, your Spirit upon us all and silence in us any voice but your own, that in hearing your word we may become your glad and faithful people. For we ask it in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Hear the word of God as it comes from the prophet Malachi. See, I am sending my messenger to prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant in whom you delight, indeed he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. But who can endure the day of his coming, and who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he will purify the descendants of Levi and refine them like gold and silver until they present offerings to the Lord in righteousness. Then the offering of Judah and Jerusalem will be pleasing to the Lord, as in the days of old, as in former years. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Some people grow up surrounded by stunning mountain vistas or raised among acres of fenceless flat farmland. Some spend their lives in the city with the silhouette of skyscrapers etched across the clouds, while for others, the cookie-cutter shapes of suburban homes make up their childhood landscape. I grew up in a suburban city nestled around Los Angeles Harbor, framed on one side by the glorious Pacific Ocean. Now, as I say this to you, I am sure you're conjuring images of seagulls and sailboats, surf and sand and seashells. How I wish. We lived just far enough inland that, although we knew the ocean was right there, we couldn't see it and had to get in the car and drive to the shore if we wanted to get up close and personal with the beach. But what I did see nearly every day was the local oil refinery just down the hill from our home. Ugly doesn't begin to describe the rows upon rows of cylindrical tanks and accompanying equipment that deface the earth like a leper's rotting flesh. From our front yard at night, we could see a huge flame that blazed atop an Olympic-sized pole. And I discovered at an early age that this meant the refinery was burning off all the impurities produced by the refining of the oil and gas stored in those hundreds and hundreds of tanks. Now, clearly the oil company executives knew what they were doing. The blaze, although impressive, was less noticeable at night than the accompanying clouds of smoke would have been during the daylight hours. And we weren't as likely to sniff the unmistakable stench of those clouds of pollution when our windows were closed at the end of the day. Refining is a filthy process, whether it involves burning the impurities out of crude oil or trying to cleanse that other just as slippery subject, the human soul. Our choir sings, "Prepare the way of the Lord," at the beginning of Advent worship, because this is the season when we prepare the way of the coming of the Christ child into our homes and hearts. We get 24 busy, adventful days to do what should take a lifetime, prepare our hearts to make room for the Savior of the world. As we shop and decorate and bake and count down the days until Christmas, there's this other side of Advent we neglect, the preparing for Christ to come into the world again at the very end of time. Preparing the way of the Lord who will one day come to judge the quick and the dead is something we'd rather not think about. And who wants to focus on the end of time when there are cookies to be baked and eaten and gifts to wrap and unwrap? The end of the world side of Advent just gets left out of the equation. I have yet to see a shopping mall advertise, "Only 15 more shopping days left until the end of the world." And we don't tune our radio to carols with solemn voices singing "Silent Last Night" or "Joy to the End of the World." And who wants to think about that end of time stuff when it's much more fun to prepare for the arrival of a cute little chubby-cheeked baby? Preparing to welcome the one who is going to make a new heaven and earth out of all creation really isn't much fun. It's hard work, it is, but it's good work. It requires us to take a good hard look at ourselves, warts and all. But let's think of this as a refining process. The prophet Malachi talks about the refiner's fire and fuller's soap. Fuller's soap. What in heaven's name is fuller's soap? Well, we learned in our Sunday school class last week, and I went online and studied it a little bit more as I was procrastinating what I was going to say today. Let's look up fuller's soap. And I found out that fuller's soap is a special kind of soap that's used to clean and condition wool fabric. The soap removes all the impurities, the oil, the dirt, and miscellaneous sheep filth, which results in a cleaner and a fuller fabric. The wool becomes more durable, more attractive, and more valuable. So a fuller is a person whose job it is to work the fabric through this process. And from what I've read, it's a lot more involved than just throwing a little Tide in your washing machine. As for refining gold and silver, there are several ways to do that. Chemicals can be used, but there's also a technique that's used that requires heat, extreme heat. When it gets to the right temperature, the heat separates the gold and the silver from the other less valuable elements it's mixed up with, and it results in a purer and much more valuable form of the metal. The gold and silver, once purified, can then be used for all sorts of purposes, from coins to chemistry and jewelry to medicine. And whether it's this fuller's soap or the refiner's fire, the purpose is to cleanse away all the junk so that we can get down to what's valuable and most precious. When the prophet Malachi writes that the messenger who comes to prepare the way of the Lord is like a refiner's fire, like fuller's soap, he is in essence telling us that before the Lord comes, we need to do a little sprucing up of our souls, a little, or maybe a lot, of cleansing. It's time to wash away the debris from our spirits, even as we deck our halls and tidy our homes in preparation for holiday guests. When it comes to our souls, though, refining requires an intense and thorough investigation into the very heart of what makes us who we are. And if we do a good job with this refining, it's painful, which is why we avoid it so much of the time. It's tough to ask ourselves the questions, what is it that I need to dispose of from my life? What is holding me back from being the person that God needs me to be? How can I be a more faithful Christian, even if I think most days I'm pretty darn faithful? What is it that we need to be refined out of our spirit so we can be at peace with ourselves, with each other, and ultimately to be at peace with God? In my recent book, 99 Things to Do Between Here and Heaven, the final entry in the book is Plan Your Funeral. And I suggest we all do this during Advent. Isn't this something we should do every Advent, along with our calendars? We'll plan our own funeral as a way of putting ourselves through the refiner's fire, washing up with the fuller's soap, preparing the way of the Lord. Oh, seriously now, Kathy, have you lost your mind? Plan our funerals during Advent? Talk about death at Christmas? Isn't it best to just leave that for Lent and Easter? And Advent and Christmas is a time to think about babies and birth, not embalming and burials. Advent is about Jesus coming into the world now, but also at the very end of time. Advent is about new life. And there's nothing to get us thinking about life as much as thinking about our death. Okay, I know it's a busy time of year, so I'm going to refine my suggestion just a bit. Instead of worrying about planning out your whole funeral, although I suggest you do that at some point, let's just take one piece of it. Write your own obituary. How would you sum up your life? What do you want people to remember about you when the end of your world comes? Trying to condense your life into a few short paragraphs is a surefire way to start that refining process. As you think about your life, make a list and then check it twice and choose just one trait or imperfection or problem you're having that you'd rather not be included in your obituary someday. What is it in your life that keeps God at a distance? I wish I could say that this process of refinement would be easy, like that big old flame at the refinery back at home. Just set the torch on fire and poof, all the impurities are just going to go flying off into the atmosphere. It took me a long time to realize that the work of that oil refinery didn't just happen when that flame was burning in the nighttime sky. The refining process was going on all the time. So too, the process of refining our spirits is an ongoing process. Indeed, it probably takes a lifetime. Sometimes this passage about the refiner's fire is explained in a way that makes God sound like a parental pyromaniac, forcing us into the flames of terrible things so we can learn from our tragedies. And while I deeply believe that God indeed wants us to be the best we can be, God doesn't torture us to get the intended results. As Paul writes in the book of Romans, if God is for us, who is against us? Nothing in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. So as part of this little exercise, as you write your obituary, just pull an empty chair up to the table and imagine Jesus sitting there writing it with you. Not as a fearful, frightening presence, but as the one who loves you more than you will ever know, who wants to help you refine away all the junk so you can be the best that you can be. So when silver and gold go through that refining process, the impurities are what's burned away, all the stuff that just gets in the way, and what is left is all that is precious and most valuable. A good silversmith works with the refining process in order to come up with the very purest silver that can be polished to such a bright and shining sheen that the image of the silversmith is reflected on the surface of the silver. As we allow Christ to refine us, may we reflect the image of the one who created us in the first place. Through Christ, God sees the fresh woolly fabric, the shining silver, the precious gold, the valuable person you already are. Thanks be to God. Pray with me. Lord, we shy away from really looking at ourselves because we see all the things that need fixed. It's scary to think about that time when we will be accountable to you, and we put that out of our mind in favor of the part of Advent that is all about babies and trees and decorations. But in this Advent season, may we refine our spirits. Will you help us do that? Because we can't do it by ourselves. Just help us find the valuable truth within us, what you see, the gold and the silver, the fluffy, woolly fabric that is of great worth. Bless us, O Lord, to seek to be the best we can be and to so reflect your glory in Christ's name. And let all God's people say, Amen. Mwaskar, if you'll stand for a moment and repeat with us the words of the Nicene Creed, one of the many creeds of the early church as Christians through the ages try to